Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'd like for you to stand with me as we read just a few verses here. Luke 24, I would like to read verses 45 through the end of the chapter, 45 through 53, familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 45, we read, "Then opened he, Christ, their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Let me just stop right there and just bring you up to what's happening rather than reading the whole chapter. These are the disciples and after the resurrection, and they were gathered together, and Christ appears there to speak with them. And he opened their understanding and that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, the remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, pleasing and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you use your word to encourage us tonight, to strengthen us. Let the Word of God do what the Word of God can do in our hearts. May that Holy Spirit have freedom to direct our minds and our thoughts as we think on the Word of God. May you be glorified above all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading through this passage of Scripture just a couple weeks ago, and just begin to meditate on some things. Really, I was reading through this whole chapter, and it's the chapter that talks about the two disciples that went to Emmaus and were walking along the road, and Jesus came alongside of them and began to ask them some questions, and then he turns around and explains to them some of the prophecy of the Old Testament. And then when he gets to their home, he breaks bread and he just disappears. I just think that's awesome. Imagine what these disciples were thinking at that time. They turned around and walked back to Jerusalem. And came back, met the other 11 disciples, disciples. And then they were all together here, and Jesus appears. And what Jesus presents to them is some things I would like to share tonight. Four things, basically. Number one, he shared the gospel with them. If we look here in verses 46 and the first part of 47, we find Jesus sharing with them the gospel and just kind of letting them remember. It's interesting, in verse 45, he says, "Then opened he their understanding," that they might understand the Scriptures. They might understand what's going on. The disciples were really confused, I think. After Jesus rose from the grave, the women came telling them that Christ rose again. They saw the angels and so forth. Some of the disciples were, these ladies, they're kind of, just talk. And we don't know what you saw, but, they were doubtful. And in fact, when Christ appears to them and showed himself several times, and here together, he comes together with them and he opened their understanding. He gave them understanding of everything that was going on. Why? Because Jesus wanted them to understand his plan. What he's planning on doing. Why all this had to happen. Yes, it's me. Yes, I died. I was crucified. Look. And he showed, he proved himself to them, and he opened their understanding. We find in this verse 46 is the gospel. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoove. This word, I understand, in the Greek means absolutely necessary. Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And when the disciples begin to understand all this and begin to see Christ alive before them, things changed. And you know, when we understand what God is doing, things change in us. Things change in us. And we're in a world that's a mess. We are. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. We're in the end times. Scripture says, you know, things are going to wax worse and worse. And but, you know, he's not finished yet. Amen. There's still people he wants to reach with the gospel of Christ. Here, in our Jerusalem, and also in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, missions is still important. And God wants us to have to understand the gospel here, and he very clearly brings it out here, the gospel of Christ. You know, the gospel is powerful. It saves from all sin. I trust that you're saved tonight, and you know that. Praise the Lord. When you're saved, you can just confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this salvation is tremendous. This salvation is powerful. It begins a transformation in the life of people. If we remember this and understand what the power of the gospel of Christ can do, it's easier to share. You know? And we can come back and just think about this. The salvation, for example. Salvation solves things for eternity. It gives us an assurance. We have eternal life. Nobody can take that from us. You know, Romans 8 is tremendous. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Salvation is a tremendous, is just great, really. And you know, sometimes we just don't, it's great. I'm saved, yeah, and I'm going to heaven. And we have the assurance, but you know, sometimes we forget there's other people the Lord wants to reach. And God forgive us for our failures and help us to do more and to help us to advance because the gospel is powerful and it gives us eternal life. There's a second thought I want you to notice here. Notice in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We need a vision. Christ is trying to present to his disciples, and we know that he's opening their eyes to the world plan that he has. Right here we read Jesus said that he wants the gospel, repentance, and the remission of sins to be preached to all nations. That's our responsibility. To all nations. Yes, we can't go to all nations. And we're in Brazil. Other missionaries in other countries. And you know, Americans can't put missionaries in Venezuela anymore, but that didn't kill God's plan. You know, he set up some from Brazil and sent them up there. Brazil and Venezuela are our friends. They're buddy-buddy. And you know, things are going great between the two countries there. You know, God's plan is at work. And he wants us to understand and he wants us to see the gospel and get a vision of what's going on. You know, when we have a vision of missions and spreading the gospel, it kind of inspires us. It inspires us. It also encourages us. I'm going to read some other verses, but it creates within us a determination to get involved. If you're not involved in missions in one way or another, you need to start. Amen. You need to start. Give and pray and expect God to do something. Yes. Expect God to do something. And so we need a vision. I was thinking that, you know, when we're involved in missions, God does great things. He does great things. And not just for the lost people in the world, bringing them to know Christ. But you know, there's a day when God's going to reward those that are involved. The greatest thing we can do is to share the gospel with other people. Get involved in spreading the gospel to all nations. Greatest thing we can do is tell people about Jesus Christ. Rewards, there's great rewards. There's treasure in heaven. And there's glory. There's glory. Well, right now, we want to glorify God. We want to do what He wants. We want to glorify Him. But there's a day coming when God will reveal what glory He received through us. Through those that are involved in doing, participating in God's plan. There's glory ahead. I'm not sure we really understand all that. I don't understand it all. Exactly what is this glory that God's talking about? But anyway, we know there's crowns. I'm not sure we fully understand all the crowns either. At least I don't. I know what the crown, the names are and so forth, but are they really material crowns, you know, or what are they? I don't know, but I know this. There's something far greater than we can receive here on this world. Here in this world. If we can just get a vision and notice God's plan and get involved, because this has eternal rewards. This is an eternal thing. It's great in God's eyes and in the eyes of God. We go on to a third thing here in Luke 24. Look in verses 48 and 49. And ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus said this to his disciples there. Ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I was reading this and I was thinking, you know, this is reality. It's not just a living experience. It's not just Christianity, if I could say it that way. It's not just a Christian life. It's much more. It's living. It's reality. It's reality. I was thinking about this, the reality of it all, you know, being a real witness of God's working. Now the disciples were a witness of what? They were a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw Him when He rose again. Are you a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, we know about it. We trust the Word of God because it says it. But we didn't see it. You know? But you know something? We are witnesses. We are witnesses. Are you a witness? What kind of a witness? A witness of what? No, we stop and think about it. We're to be witnesses of the power of God and His working in our lives. In our lives. There was a time when each one of us were in our sins. We were lost. We were on our way to hell. And Christ saves our souls. And when we accepted Christ, repented, and trusted Christ as our Savior, a transformation took place. An assurance came in. We know we're going to heaven. I transformate. You're a witness of that. Amen. And you know, we have the Holy Spirit too. We read here that Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you until ye be endued with the power from on high. You know something? We have a power. We have a power from on high that the Lord gives to us that we might be witnesses and that we might accomplish what God wants us to do in this world. There's a power involved. Well, we could go on. You know, that's, we know it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. When we trust Christ as our Savior, He comes and lives within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. And there's a power there that's beyond us. Throw out a little secret. I try and do this before every message I preach. I ask God to help me not to preach in words of man's wisdom, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. I am nothing. I am nothing. I shiver and shake and feek in fear before I stand up to preach. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, that's so easy. I'm really a quiet guy, you know. At least I used to be. Give me an opportunity and you can't keep me quiet. But really, I have to depend upon the Lord. Depend upon the Lord and ask Him to help me to do what He wants to encourage it and to strengthen His people and His churches. You know, God is great and He's powerful. I wrote down a few things here. You know, the results is in God's hands. What God wants us to do is share the gospel of Christ. When we share it, His power goes to work. His power goes to work. We never know exactly what the gospel is going to do in the heart of a person. Not everybody accepts Christ the first time they hear the gospel of Christ. Anybody here accepted the Lord the first time you heard the gospel? Anybody here saved? Oh, well, that's better. Okay. Hey, you know, I don't know where this came from, but I read once. Somebody did, I don't know how they came up with this idea, but I thought it was kind of neat. They said a person has to hear the gospel. Normally, a person hears the gospel 27 times before they accept Christ as their Savior. Now, I don't know where that came from. I thought, you know, whether it's the truth or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I heard the gospel a lot of times before I really come to know Christ as my Savior and to give my life to Him. And when we share the gospel to others, the Holy Spirit begins to work in the hearts of people. And we don't know exactly everything that's going on. We've been in Brazil for 39 years. And it's interesting when every once in a while we hear of somebody that was saved because of years ago they heard the gospel through the ministry that we were involved in. That's kind of exciting. Never forgot what they had heard. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that works in hearts. And not just that, but the Word of God is powerful. When you share the Word of God in any kind of a way, when you're a witness of the fact the Word of God is powerful and you share it with others, the Word of God goes to work. And the Holy Spirit uses it. And the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16, we know, is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ. We need to depend upon God and the Holy Spirit. But you know, if we don't use it and we don't send it out and we don't share it, who will? Who will? Churches today, all over the world, I think, there's the world is a religious world. But there's a lot out there that aren't preaching the gospel. They're preaching love. You give to God and He'll give back to you. You know, it's a gospel of prosperity. You know, let's make a deal with God. And nothing with repentance, nothing with sin. You know, we're sinners condemned to hell. And until we repent of that fact and trust Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, shed His blood, gave His life for us. But you know when we do that? I trust you know. The Lord saves us, gives us eternal life, assurance of salvation. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in this world. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just finish with another thought. Look here in Lucas 24. Verses 50 through 53. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and bless them. And I think Jesus wanted to bless his disciples. They were, they're just like we are. Full of doubts sometimes, wonder what God's really doing and so forth. And God comes, and or Christ comes along here and just explains everything and shows everything. And after the resurrection, how many times he really showed himself, taught for something like 40 days before he ascended into heaven. He taught his disciples, and they were on fire. I mean, they were ready. Why? Because the Lord wanted them to carry the gospel and start churches and see this thing expand all over the world. And that's literally exactly what happened. But there's something here. He blessed them. You know, God will bless us. We don't deserve it, but God will bless us. The other day I was kind of feeling kind of down and out. You know, once in a while missionaries get that way too. You know, and kind of down and out. And I said, Lord, you know, I need some help. I'm just not discouraged, but, you know, just one of those days, you know, you just feel like miserable, you know. And said, Lord, I need some help. I want to be happy, joyful, you know. For some reason, it just seems like I can't get there. You know, this is not too good of a day. And it just is almost as though the Lord does some things and just renews your joy. Look at here. When the disciples begin to hear these things from Christ, and he blessed them, okay, he was parted from them and was carried into heaven. Now, I don't know. We've never seen that. We're not witnesses of that. We'll be witnesses of the rapture if the Lord comes back before we something else happens, before we die before. But they were witnesses of that. And the next verse says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, notice, with great joy. Totally different than it was when Christ died and was buried. The disciples were thinking, what happened? We trusted he was the master, that he was the Christ. They killed him. Now what are we going to do? I mean, they were really, honestly, they didn't know what to do. And when Christ began to show up, say, hey, look, it's me. I'm alive. Don't you remember? I tried to teach you this before so you would know. But, you know, they were kind of like we are. You know, we don't get everything, you know. I'll have to put this in, Pastor. Pastor gets up here, preaches messages. How much do we remember when we leave? Many times, you know, we don't get much. And the pastor gets more than anybody else does. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's a blessing to study the Word of God. And then you get involved and you don't have time enough to spend that you want to spend. Because it's good. It's marvelous. When Christ presented the truth and the plan of God to his disciples, it all turned to joy. And when Jesus departed from them the second time, disappeared into heaven, it all turned into joy. This time it wasn't confusion. This time it wasn't, well, what's going on? Not again. You know, he's taken off again. No, it was all joy. Great joy. You know something? We need great joy. We need some excitement in our lives. We need to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. People are attracted by joy. I remember one time in Lee Mayda, I was sitting in the center, sitting on a bench in the center of the city. I think my wife was in a store somewhere with some ladies, and I was sitting there. But I specifically remember sitting there, and I saw this guy come by, just walking by. I mean, he looked like it was the end of the world. I mean, he was sad. It was the end of the world. And I looked at him, and I thought, boy, I'm glad I don't look like him. And the Lord says, have you seen your face lately? And it was funny because I was just observing some people. And somebody else came walking by. And I go, why is he so happy? And, I begin to notice, I would rather be like the second guy than the first guy. You know, joy attracts people. It really does. When there's a big party going on and everybody's singing, having a great time, it attracts people. Are you joyful? Are you joyful? Sometimes we lose our joy. The joy of our salvation. That joy that we get when we trust Christ as our Savior. And I remember the night I trusted Christ as my Savior. Really, honestly. I don't know. Everything, but I know this. I felt like a sinner. I really did, and I felt when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was like a burden fell off my back. I mean, I felt like the Lord cleaned me up. I had assurance I was going to heaven. And I knew. I was saved one night in my bedroom, I have to tell you, and then we'll close here in a moment, but I was saved in my bedroom one night, looking out the window at the stars. It was a clear night and the stars were bright. And we just came back from church. And my parents always took us to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And it was 12 miles to get there and 12 miles to get back. But I remember the preacher, and it wasn't the pastor. I don't know who he was. When I get to heaven, I want to find out who he is. But anyway, he preached on the return of Jesus Christ. And he said, Jesus is coming. And he can come anytime. Anytime. And I was just looking out the window thinking about the Lord's return and what he had said in his message. And just thinking about the Lord's return. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Gary, if Jesus comes back in 5 minutes, are you going with him? Are you ready? Are you? Oh, hit me like a knife in my heart. I was a member of the church, Gary Zenu. Yeah, I did everything, tried to do everything right. Everybody thought I was a real nice Christian. I was baptized, member of the church, everything. And yet before God, I knew I was a sinner and faking everybody out. And I said, Lord, I don't know. I'm not going. And then the thought hit me, you got 3 minutes. Really? You got 3 minutes. And I begin to pray, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I want to be saved. Would you save me? And I felt like the Lord just cleansed me up and made me clean. And he gave me joy. Gave me the assurance. Okay, come on, I'm ready to go. Let's, and I had assurance. Joy is needed in our lives. And if we can have the joy of the Lord like when we trusted Christ as our Savior, joy comes in many ways. We don't get into all that. But Jesus talked about his disciples having joy, being joyful. When we love the Lord and we're close to him and we're reading his word and we're sharing the gospel with others, I think one of the most exciting things that brings joy is when you can take the Word of God and sit down next to somebody with an open Bible and share with them the gospel of Christ and see someone interested, whether you really trust Christ or not, it's a joy. The joy comes back. I've gone out visiting, like probably many people. Gone out visiting, and, I got to go. I don't really want to go. I'd rather be home drinking a cup of coffee. I'll go. Why? Because I'm the pastor. That's why. So anyway, but you just kind of have that spirit like, I don't want to go today. It's so hot, or something like that. And then you get going and you start talking to a couple people and things just change. And it gets exciting. And wow, this is great. The joy of the Lord in sharing the Word of God with others. That's God's plan. We don't have the power to change lives. We don't have the power to save people, but we have. We know where it comes from, and we have something that's powerful we can share with others. Jesus wants all nations to hear the power of the gospel of Christ. Save souls for eternity. Doesn't matter if some of them can believe they lose it. There ain't no way you're going to lose what Jesus gives us. It depends on Him. Our Savior is great. Get involved in missions. Don't lose your joy. If you lose it, ask the Lord to get it back. Get involved again. And, you know, we need to keep on going. This world's a mess. But we can't stop until Christ comes back. There's people out there that still need the Lord. And He hasn't taken us home. So that means He's still got work for us to do. Let's just keep on going. Shall we pray? Pastor, you may come. Father, thank You for a few thoughts from Your word. Help us, O Lord, that we would do what You want us to do. Getting involved in Your plan, doing what You want. Help us to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Father, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Pastor.